This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. It is presented by Brandon Legal Group. They have been longtime supporters of Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments. Brandon Legal Group has the first foursome in virtually every Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournament, and they simply want to remind you that if you are ever in need of legal assistance and you live in the greater Tampa Bay area, you can call them for a free consult, and you need not ask what type of law they specialize in. They are a full-service law firm. 844-4-BLG-4ME. 844-4-BLG-4ME, or visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. I'd also like to thank Pin Chasers for their continuing support of Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments. At virtually every Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournament, all players go home with free bowling, and Pin Chasers often provides gift baskets for my prize drafts at every other Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournament. My congratulations to Pin Chasers and my golf buddy and radio colleague Drew Garabo on a very successful fundraiser last weekend. Drew Garabo's Down to Bowl, with proceeds benefiting Down Syndrome Association, was sold out and extremely worthwhile for everybody involved. I saw the pictures on Facebook while I was out west. I apologized to Drew. I wished him well before the event began via text message, and I'm looking forward to hearing more details about it from him next time we play golf together. That was at Pin Chasers Midtown, 4847 North Armenia. The other two Pin Chasers locations are 5555 West Hillsborough Avenue, just north of Tampa International Airport, and 6816 Gale Boulevard in Zephyr Hills. As Drew can attest with his sold-out fundraiser, as I can attest, 2 weeks prior, hosting a kid's birthday party for my favorite 9-year-old in the world, Calvin. It's a group destination. They're obviously league play for those of you serious about bowling. If you're just looking for a last-minute idea, an inexpensive, fun date night, follow Pin Chasers on Facebook for all their specials. They have late night specials from 9 to close, 5 nights a week, Sunday through Thursday. The breakfast bowl is 7 days a week. You never pay for your shoes at Pin Chasers, and even if you need socks, just ask them, and they will provide a pair for you. Visit pinchasers.net. Speaking of Todd Wright Tour, 24 was our earliest sellout ever, sold out over 2 months in advance. Todd Wright Tour 24 will be played on the Ranch Course at Black Diamond on the morning of April 25th. There will be two divisions. The Win Division will be a two-ball, four-person scramble from 6,200 yards roughly. The Fun Division will be a four-person scramble, shamble on the Win Division, scramble on the Fun Division, because it's just people who want to get out there, have a good time, and enjoy a golf course that they just can't pick up the phone or go online and get a tee time. That's part of what I do on the Todd Wright Tours, offer you these opportunities, and at a better price than anyone else. 5,400 yards, we'll play the Fun Division, and we'll play those from the white tees. That's roughly 5,400 yards in a four-person scramble in that division. This will help pace of play. The event is sold out with the exception of one final foursome. You can bid on it. Now, the minimum bid is $400 because it was $400 a foursome to sell out the event. So you're going to have to go a little higher than that. The auction is private. It is by email only, toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. You simply have to send me a bid if you want the last foursome in Todd Wright Tour 24 at Black Diamond Ranch on April 25th. You can send your bid, and I'll just need your name, your phone number. Obviously, I'll have your email once you email me, and your bid. Bid on an amount for the foursome. You're not bidding on one spot, two spots, three spots. You're bidding to bid and win the final foursome in Todd Wright Tour 24. Email toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. Bids will close 1 p.m. March 5th. So you have a little less than 48 hours to get your bid in. I will contact only the winning bidder to tell them that they are in the tournament and to collect payment. So if you've always wanted to play at Black Diamond and you've always wanted to play in a Todd Wright Tour golf tournament, this is your opportunity. Send your bid, minimum $400. You can probably guess you're going to have to go higher than that to earn the final foursome in Todd Wright Tour 24, April 25th at Black Diamond Ranch. ToddWrightGolf@gmail.com, ToddWrightGolf@gmail.com. Just returned from almost a week out west between Nevada and Arizona, and I had said to myself, when the Cincinnati Reds, I was born in Cincinnati, raised on the Big Red Machine, I would argue the last, you can't argue it against the late 90s Yankees anymore, but really in professional sports, now we've had some dynasties recently, the Patriots winning a lot of Super Bowls, the Golden State Warriors in the NBA. Not so much in the NHL. The Blackhawks won three cups over 6 years with a core of some of big time star players and future Hall of Famers. But that Big Red Machine in the 70s that won multiple World Series was the pro sports team I was raised on by my grandparents, by my grandparents' brothers and sisters, and was embraced by the city of Cincinnati. And before there was ever the internet, before there was ever sports radio, household names played every position for the Big Red Machine. Bench at first, bench behind the plate, Perez at first before he took free agent money, then it was Dreesen, Morgan at second, Concepcion at short, Rose at third. Now, Rose was an all-star at five different positions in his career, for those of you. I'm a modest Pete apologist. I think he kind of got what he deserved. But Rose at third, Foster in left, Geronimo in center, and Ken Griffey Sr. That was my childhood. Ken Griffey Sr. in right field. The picture is a little less recognizable. I know the names, but we'll save them here. So my entire life, not only was I born in Cincinnati, but the Reds for the first 40 years of my life trained during the spring in the greater Tampa Bay area. Those of you who live in the Tampa Bay area know this very well. My first Red spring training experience was at Al Lopez Field, which that land is now occupied by the Raymond James Stadium, which will host the upcoming Super Bowl and is the tenant for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Originally, the plan was to replace Al Lopez Field with almost a duplicate of the Metrodome to bring Major League Baseball to Tampa Bay. The city of St. Petersburg simply started building their bad building first, and Tampa stopped the process, eventually using the Al Lopez land to build a new Buccaneer stadium so the Buccaneers wouldn't move. But the Reds trained there for many years. Then they moved to Plant City, where they were also for many years, and I saw them there. Then they moved to Sarasota, and then that stadium was in need of repair. Rather than do the repairs for the Reds left, and then they did the repairs to bring the Orioles to town. So when the Reds moved to Arizona, which it hurt me just as someone who had always seen them for the first 40 years of my life in my backyard, not just in my state that I'd moved to from Cincinnati like so many other people from Ohio and the Midwest, but they were one of many that moved to Arizona, and they joined the Cleveland Indians, ironically, who just the year before moved to a new ballpark in really the boondocks of Arizona. Granted, it's right off Interstate 10, so everything is connected. But well west of any other spring training facilities, and that's in Goodyear, Arizona. And I said to myself, even as my interest in baseball has waned, and I've talked about that here on the Toddcast, and just the last 3 years of tainted games and tainted champions and results, independent of the Nationals win last season. But it sort of it justifies how I'm not missing anything and how damaged Major League Baseball is. The game of baseball is fine as an activity. But Major League Baseball is severely damaged, and I think continues to inflict many of their problems are self-inflicted. I can say the same thing about NASCAR, about what they've done with their sport. But I always said, I got to get out to Arizona to see the Reds. And it would also be an excuse to see why so many teams that I used to see in Florida, the Reds, the Indians, the Royals, the White Sox. Did the Cubs train in Florida and then move out there? Were the Cubs always out there? Cubs are out there now at Sloan Park in Mesa. Rangers, so many have moved to Arizona. And players who regularly appeared on my show, like A.J. Pierzynski being one, always talked about Joe Randa, Barry Zito. How much better the Arizona spring training experience were for them than the Florida spring training experience. And one of the reasons given was simply travel time. And I get that. I woke up at the Cubs Hotel in Mesa, Arizona, and drove I-10 straight shot out to the boonies, Goodyear, Arizona, to see the Reds at the Goodyear ballpark with the big parking lot of airplanes right next to it that opened 10 years ago and took me roughly a half hour, but it was all highway. And in Florida, you know, you got the Braves up at the Villages. You can go all the way down to Fort Myers for the Red Sox and the Twins. You can go out to Lakeland for the Tigers. You can go over to West Palm Beach for multiple franchises as well, and they're all over the place in the state of Florida. Now, they're not in Jacksonville, they're not in Miami, they're not in Pensacola or Tallahassee, but they're still spread out. Sure, you have, say, just in the Tampa Bay area, you have the Yankees in Tampa, the Phillies in Clearwater, the Blue Jays for now in Dunedin, the Orioles in Sarasota, and the Pirates in Bradenton. That's one example of five teams that are pretty closely located. Still, it would take you longer to go from probably the Dunedin ballpark where the Jays are to Sarasota where the Orioles are than one of the longest trips in Arizona that I think I just took between Mesa and Goodyear. So I get it from a travel perspective, a player perspective. Obviously, the layouts of the stadium are different. As I walked into the Goodyear ballpark to see the Reds earlier this week, actually it was late last week, I said to myself, all right, it's a baseball stadium, but what's different about this? I mean, they actually do have palm trees and, you know, the stadium is only built to hold so many people. The difference is, in Arizona, they didn't do this in Mesa, but they did do it in Goodyear, where they basically create a hole in the ground and just kind of build a few things around it, which you can't do in Florida because you can't go into the ground. So literally, down the left field line, down the right field line, it's almost like you're not even inside a ballpark. It's just a big fenced-in grassy area. And over there, down there, is where the Reds were playing the A's. So I get it. And that's why, what, roughly half of Major League Baseball teams train in Arizona. They also don't have to worry about rain. Weather is more predictable, but the travel time, I get it. From a Reds perspective, and I wonder how many of you deal with this. I know you Buccaneers fans deal with it, and there's probably many others of you, depending on geography or just what your favorite team is. And I mean your favorite team that it's been for your life. Part of why I don't actively watch or follow Major League Baseball anymore is because my team has been irrelevant for so long. Other than a blip here or there that ultimately ended in disappointment very quickly, the Reds have not been significant since that Lou Piniella team in 1990 surprised, shocked, and swept the Bash Brothers, the Oakland A's, with Canseco and McGuire, speaking of cheaters, back in 1990. It's three decades. And I thought about this a lot because I saw the Reds play the A's, and I'm thinking, wow, 30 years ago, these two franchises were playing in the World Series. And Jose Rijo won Game 1, Game 4. Billy Hatcher got on base consistently. Eric Davis had a home run and a great catch. Was quite a Reds team. It had Paul O'Neill in right, the Nasty Boys, Sabo at third. List goes on. So as I'm at Goodyear Ballpark, and I got there early, it was a light attendance on an overcast day. Number of A's fans were there, making the, coming in from Northern California, probably spending 3-4 days in Arizona to see their team both home and away. And as much as I liked looking around and seeing on the back of jerseys that people were wearing, Bench, Morgan, Rose, it just lent itself to what the Reds franchise has deteriorated to. And that's irrelevance. You know, there are other irrelevant franchises in the major four professional sports, just off the top of my head. The Atlanta Hawks are essentially irrelevant. Now, the Hawks never had in Atlanta. The closest thing was when Dominique played there. But Dominique could never get by those Larry Bird-led Celtics. The Reds at least have won titles. The Atlanta Hawks have not. But at least for the better part of the last 30 years, both franchises have been irrelevant. You could say the Florida Panthers hockey team last went to the Stanley Cup Finals in, what, 96? When the fans would throw rats on the ice and then they lost. They got swept by the Colorado Avalanche. Have been essentially irrelevant for 2.5 decades. And insert your own. There are plenty of others. But especially when it hits home that it's you. And I look like to the left of me and the man with his wife wearing the Johnny Bench jersey. And as I was growing up, not only was Johnny Bench my favorite member of the Reds, Pete Rose was second. But I loved anything I could, anytime I could watch or get information on Julius Erving, Jack Nicklaus, and Johnny Bench. Those were my three. So I had the Bench jersey to the left, and again, I would see all these other jerseys, and I would think, as much as this is comforting, it also shows you what's wrong with this franchise. That they have, other than Joey Votto, one of the best players in baseball that has been absolutely wasted for well over a decade, was the league MVP, I guess, 10 years ago. The Reds have no one who fans are going to run out to buy the jersey of and can identify with. And it's more with the Reds, are they going to lose 90 rather than are they going to win 90? Now, there have been some big-time players who have come through Cincinnati in this irrelevant period, but they've made a name for themselves elsewhere. One of the most recent World Series, I believe the two game one starters were both former Cincinnati Reds pitchers. Aroldis Chapman, who has had a big role for the Cubs and Yankees in recent postseasons, was originally throwing 102 miles an hour as the closer for the Cincinnati Reds. And it just speaks to how these players make a bigger name for themselves and win bigger when they leave a once great baseball city like Cincinnati. And I don't think Rose had anything to do with this. Pete Rose isn't the reason why the franchise is irrelevant. It's a separate issue. If anything, the Pete Rose conversation about the Hall of Fame is kind of the only national mainstream talk about the Cincinnati Reds that there has been since he suffered that penalty. If it wasn't for that, people might think the franchise moved. So from that standpoint, as comforting as it was for me to see those names on jerseys around me, and for me to also scorn when the guy walked in with the Red Sox Yastrzemski jersey, hey, asshole, why not go to Fort Myers and wear that? You're at the wrong game. It also highlighted the problem. And it's not just a problem for the Reds, but other irrelevant franchises who can't put anything together, where their fans don't even feel good about buying a jersey that they know is going to last, that they can proudly wear for years and decades, like the people who are wearing the Bench, the Morgan, the Rose jerseys, etc. Mike Fiers actually started the game as the pitcher for the Oakland A's. Let me bring this up as the final note. I noticed it in the starting lineups. By the way, one of the things I like about spring training is, and I've always said this about it, no one cares who wins or loses. As much as baseball to me is, Major League Baseball is dying, they've had it right with their preseason all along. It's an activity. It's an event. It's an excuse to do something. The teams, the organizations don't care who wins. It's an exhibition game. And the fans don't care. They still like to go. It's a unique atmosphere. It's fun. Football doesn't have that. Basketball doesn't have that. Hockey doesn't have that. No other sport has it the way baseball does. I kind of wish they could play a regular season like this. And then just maybe, I don't know, the last month? All right, now we're counting. Because you have to put together a postseason. I know. But I'm just saying, spring training works. And as much as I continue to dislike baseball more and more, there was nothing I disliked about being at the Reds game last week against the A's. Nothing. I'm planning to go to a spring game walking distance from my home at the Yankee facility against the Jays in a week. I'll enjoy that too. Why? Because it's not about who wins and loses. The result doesn't matter. It's the activity, and because it's a smaller venue and because of the overall atmosphere, it's enjoyable, and the price is a little less. Mike Fiers started the game for Oakland. Mike Fiers is the whistleblower in the Astros cheating scandal investigation. Mike Fiers openly has said, once the A's are done with him, he doesn't feel like he'll ever pitch in the majors again. Mike, I think that's up to you. Based on what I saw and the reaction, Reds fans actually stood and applauded, waiting for his name to be said so they could say thank you. And I have a feeling Mike Fiers will get more of that than he thinks around spring training parks in Arizona and in major league ballparks other than Houston as well. It's going to be whether or not Mike Fiers can get guys out. If you can get guys out and you can throw in the 90s, there's a job for you in Major League Baseball. As much as a quarterback in the NFL, a guy who can hit a three-point shot in the NBA, or someone in the NHL who can put on goaltending gear and prevent pucks from getting behind him in the net, there's a job for you. So that's how I feel about Mike Fiers. It's not what you did, it's what you do now. And if you can get guys out, if the A's don't want you, someone else will. And I hope Mike Fiers continues to get guys out to disprove his own personal theory that because he said something was wrong, albeit maybe too late, that isn't the reason he shouldn't be employed by that business anymore. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Pin Chasers. Go to pinchasers.net or visit Pin Chasers on Facebook for all their specials. And by Brandon Legal Group. When you are in need of legal assistance, call anytime for a free consult. They are a full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. 844-4-BLG-4ME. 844-4-BLG-4ME. BrandonLegalGroup.com. Thanks for listening to the Todd Wright Toddcast. Remember, bidding for the final foursome in Todd Wright Tour 24 closes 1 p.m. March 5th. 1 p.m. March 5th. If you would like to play Black Diamond Ranch with us in Todd Wright Tour 24, send your bid to ToddWrightGolf@gmail.com. I will contact the winner after 1 p.m. on March 5th. Send it to ToddWrightGolf@gmail.com for any questions on the bidding or the auction. ToddWrightGolf@gmail.com.